This is The Book in the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
A major milestone is approaching for The Book in the Spade. 6 months from now, in February 2023, this radio program will begin its 40th year of broadcasting. 40 years is significant. Just think of all the 40s in the Bible. 40 is mentioned 146 times. The Israelites wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Moses, Elijah, and Jesus each fasted in the desert for 40 days. God gave Nineveh a 40-day warning. Noah's flood. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. It's all over. The symbolism of 40 in the Bible generally symbolizes a period of testing, trial, and then finally, triumph. The fact that I've been able to produce a weekly radio program on biblical archaeology for 40 years is a triumph. We began The Book in the Spade in 1983 with no ambitious plans, just a fascination with biblical archaeology. What else happened in 1983? Ronald Reagan was in his first term as president. The compact disc was launched in the United States. The internet was just getting started, and Bill Gates introduced Windows 1.0. The big news in biblical archaeology, the discovery 4 years previous of a silver amulet scroll that contained the priestly benediction from Numbers 6, 24-26. To this day, that's the oldest text from Scripture that's ever been found, dating to the 7th century B.C. Professor Keith Scoville taught biblical archaeology at the University of Wisconsin. In February of 1983, I invited him to the WNWC radio studios, where I was news director, to try a few programs about biblical archaeology. And we just kept going. The name of the program, The Book in the Spade, actually came from Professor Menachem Mansour, the chair and founder of the University of Wisconsin Department of Hebrew and Semitic Studies. In a 1987 interview, I asked him about The Book in the Spade.
When I was a student in Dublin, my professor in biblical archaeology referred to this title, and I liked it very much, which really clearly describes the relationship between the archaeology, the spade, and the Bible, the book. And I'm very happy that you're using it too.
We'll keep it alive for as long as we can.
What you really mean is the relationship between the Bible and archaeology, the contributions of this young science to our understanding of the ancient biblical world and the authority of the Bible.
We have had Professor William Devery in our studios a while back, and he is not completely comfortable with the use of biblical archaeology. He prefers another term. But do you feel a biblical archaeology is an accurate term?
Personally, I do, because as far as I'm concerned, what I mean by biblical archaeology is really what archaeology has shown us as far as the Bible is concerned, how archaeological finds corroborated many of the historical events in the Bible. Archaeology showed us the kind of figurines, the idols, the ancient pagan world worshipped. When you read in the Bible how they worshipped the Baals and the other figurines and so forth, you really have a clear idea now, much better, and you really appreciate more the denunciation of the prophets about worshipping idols. Archaeology also helped us to understand the biblical documents, the history of writing.
Professor Menachem Mansour, in one of our early interviews, copied from our cassette library. You might notice a little background hum on these particular audio cuts. In that interview, Professor Mansour talked about the tremendous interest in biblical archaeology.
And really, I would say the public interest is truly staggering. As you know, in 1975, we held a three-week exhibit in biblical archaeology, which, by the way, we called it The Book and the Spade, at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. Over 95,000 persons visited it within a period of 3.5 weeks. Perhaps we, as inquisitive human beings, are anxious to know more about our common origins, common religious heritage, and in our past. It's really amusing to tell you a little anecdote that several years ago, I read in one of the journals in the United States that an American newspaper publisher once told his reporters, "Get busy. Our readers today are interested in three categories of news items: inflation, sex, and archaeology." In that order, he said. Well, I'm not going to debate priorities, but certainly people do have a lively interest in the Bible and biblical archaeology.
In case after case, said Professor Mansour, archaeological discoveries have corroborated the Bible.
I would like here to add one very important point. In dealing with the biblical archaeology, we have not only unwritten documents such as artifacts made by human hands, walls, public buildings, and so forth, even household objects, but also we do have ancient written materials found in exploring and excavating. Since the Bible is a collection of writing, we shall naturally learn more about it from written sources than from those not in writing. Writing without artifacts, I believe, is like flesh without a skeleton, and artifacts without writing are like a skeleton without flesh.
So you need both.
Both must be considered, really, in biblical archaeology. I'm not talking now about biblical faith, we'll come to this, but I'm talking now my main interest, archaeology as a scientific tool. The tantalizing thing about biblical archaeology is that often we uncover both artifacts and writing. We find jars and potsherds with names or kings and officers clearly mentioned in the Bible. The same historical events recorded both in the Bible and in the Akkadian inscriptions, the same names of gods and goddesses in Canaanite, the Israelite stone tablets corroborating and supplementing one another. Because of the scientific methods applied, archaeology has become, in a very real sense, the scientific laboratory of history. It has set the Bible, the whole Bible, once again in the center of history.
Archaeology has set the Bible at the center of history. The observation of Professor Menachem Mansour, the founder and former chairman of the University of Wisconsin Department of Hebrew and Semitic Studies. Professor Mansour died in 2001. Over the decades, the relationship between the Bible and archaeology has swung back and forth in the scholarly debates between the maximalists and the minimalists. In this 1987 interview, Professor Mansour offered his reflections on the archaeological connection to the Bible.
One must remember that the Bible is both divine, since it rests on divine inspiration, and human, since it has come to us through human channels and human hands. But always bear in mind, to err is also human. Many historical records in the Bible have been corroborated, substantiated, and illuminated by discoveries in the Holy Land and the Near East. The Bible no longer can be called to be a collection of myths and legends, as some writers have tried to convince us. But I wish to emphasize, as Professor Albright observed, archaeology does not, cannot, and should not be utilized to prove or disprove the Bible. I personally hold it as a general rule that when archaeological finds confirm a statement or historical event in the Bible, it is the Bible that proves that the archaeological find is authentic. Since it is mentioned in the Bible, which has been faithfully transmitted to us for over 2,000 years, and not the other way around, that the archaeology proves the Bible, the biblical statement, is true. My main point here is that the Bible does not require archaeology to come to its rescue.
The Bible does not require archaeology to come to its rescue. Professor Mansour quoted William F. Albright, who is often called the father of biblical archaeology. Mansour was a student of Albright.
Well, he was an amazing man, really a walking encyclopedia. not only in Semitic studies and archaeology, but almost about every scholar worth his salt. It took him only 10 minutes to talk to me, and then without knowing me, he said, you come to Johns Hopkins and we'll see you there for a year. I attended his seminars, and his seminars were extraordinary. In fact, something I inherited from him. We can start talking about, let's say, Ugaritic, and then if one person is mentioned, say Cyrus Gordon, he'll tell us all he knows about Cyrus Gordon. We learn a great deal this way than just sticking to a narrow subject throughout the seminar.
It was Albright, of course, who authenticated the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls 75 years ago. Mansour himself was a Dead Sea Scroll scholar translating the Thanksgiving hymns. The Dead Sea Scrolls put biblical archaeology on the front page and gave us a new perspective on the Bible.
There is no doubt it's one of the greatest discoveries of the century. First of all, until the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, we did not possess a manuscript, a Hebrew manuscript, that was dated before the 10th century AD. Some scholars, so-called scholars, because of this, they said that the Hebrew Bible that we have today, from which all the translations were made, is not really the original, the genuine one. It's a medieval compilation. That was their view. And many PhD and MA theses were written on the subject. Now we found the Dead Sea Scrolls, and among the finds, we found many biblical manuscripts and a whole book of Isaiah, a whole scroll of Isaiah from beginning to end. And by the way, there weren't two Isaiahs or three Isaiahs, only one. It shows the tradition that Isaiah was one book, goes back to the first century BC. And when this was compared with the Hebrew Bible we have been using for so many years, it was shown that's almost identical. Therefore, really the first impact is that the Bible that we have been using for the last 2,000 years, and which was translated into many languages, is a genuine copy of the Hebrew Bible.
Professor Menachem Mansour, Professor Emeritus at the University of Wisconsin when this 1967 interview was recorded. This is the first of a series of programs which we will be featuring over the next year, marking the 40-year anniversary of the Book and the Spade, which will officially arrive in February 2023. Professor Mansour gave us the name of our program and was a mentor to our longtime co-host, Professor Keith Scoville. He was a prolific author with more than 24 books to his credit, including textbooks on learning biblical Hebrew and the Dead Sea Scrolls. May his memory be a blessing. Over the past 40 years of the Book and the Spade, my work in biblical archaeology has expanded to our quarterly biblical archaeology news magazine, Artifacts, and periodic reports for Christianity Today magazine. I've also invited listeners to join us and go see the archaeological and biblical sites for themselves on our Holy Land tours. You can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and on our website at radioscribe.com. In recent years, we've added regularly updated archaeology videos to our website, so if you haven't been there in a while, check that out. That's radioscribe.com. I'm Gordon Govier. Join us again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on The Book and the Spade.
The Book and the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.